reading for this day is from the book of Malachi. We will read some verses from chapter 2 and also some verses from chapter 3. And Malachi is one of those difficult books to find. It's like the last one in the Old Testament, so it's stuck between the old and the new, and it's about 2 pages long, so you've got to play it carefully if you want to find it in your pew Bibles. Lord, as we open your word, Lord, we pray that you will open our hearts to hear this word, Lord, to take it in. Lord, we pray that you will open our minds to the understanding of this word. Lord, we pray that you will use these words in us to make a difference in this world. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. So the first reading I want to do this morning is Malachi chapter 2 from verse 1 to verse 5. And now, this abomination is for you, O priest. If you do not listen, and if you do not set your hearts to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have already cursed them, because you have not set your heart to honor me. Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants. I will spread on your face the offal from your festival sacrifice, and you will be carried off with it. And you will know that I have sent you this abomination, so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty. My covenant was with him, a covenant of life and peace, and I gave them to him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of my name. Then we turn to chapter 3. We will read from verse 6. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? Tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast off their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. I want to also read to you from the New Testament, from the letter to the Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 7, where we will read from verse 11 through to verse 28. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the law was given to the people, why was there still need for another priest to come, one in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron? For when there is a change of the priesthood, there must also be a change of the law. He of whom these things are said belonged to a different tribe, and not from that tribe that have served at the altar, speaking of the tribe of Levi. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah and is regarded to the tribe Moses said nothing about a priest. And what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears, one who has become a priest not on a basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on a basis of the power of an indestructible life. For it is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless. Here it is, the former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless. For the law made nothing perfect, and a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath. But he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, the Lord has sworn and you will not change his mind. you are a priest forever. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our needs, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sin and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the oath which come after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. May the word, these words of the Lord be a blessing to us. Now the children, you need to listen carefully. I'm not speaking to your mothers and fathers and your grandparents this morning. I'm talking to you this morning. And I'm speaking to the young people in the confirmation class. And to those younger people of us who doesn't understand what's happening here this morning. So like we already said, today is Pentecost Sunday. Today we're supposed to celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But I've decided that we have so much to be thankful for. We have to, you know, we've got God's grace that we've got to be thankful for. God's love that we need to be thankful for. We have to be thankful that God gave his son Jesus. That Jesus gave his life. We have to be thankful for this redeeming ministry that Jesus brings. We have to be thankful for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. For all the blessings we receive. For all the food we have to eat. For all the family we have. For everything we have. We have to be thankful. So therefore I've decided that today we will have a Thanksgiving Sunday. Not a Thanksgiving like an American way, but a Thanksgiving like in a Jewish way. And so today we're celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. Now it's funny, because if any of you knows the Jewish timetable and a Jewish calendar, then we're slightly off of our date. When you think the Jewish tabernacle or Sukkot or Feast of the Booth supposed to be celebrated this year, when do you think that would have been? Any guess? Almost at a few months. The date for that feast is the 5th of October to the 12th of October for 2017. So I'm crazy, am I not? Why the hell have you all got all these things here today? The Feast of the Tabernacle, or the Feast of the Sukkot. This is what you call this, a Sukkot. Or the Feast of the Booth. It almost looks like a booth as well. Are celebrated at the end of the harvest. Now children, if you go and ask him, Wilhelm, he'll tell you he's busy harvesting. And his harvest is almost done, isn't it, Wilhelm? Not yet. No, his wife knows. He's still out late at night and up early in the mornings. But the end of our harvest is coming quite soon. And therefore I thought, let's celebrate a harvest festival this morning. In the southern hemisphere, our winter is not the same as the northern hemisphere. That's why our harvest and the harvest in the biblical lands are not the same. So if you look at Sukkot, if you look at the Feast of Tabernacles, it's one of the three major festivals of the Jewish calendar. It's one of the festivals where after the harvest, listen to this, the Jewish people would bring a tenth of what they've harvested to the house of the Lord as their tithing. See how clever I am? How I bring this in? They bring it as a tithing. But now they've got to go to the temple. So they don't stay where they are. They go all the way to Jerusalem. And they put up their little booths, their little sukkoths, or their tabernacles. And it's a flimsy construction. And they say you can actually when you build this, use any material. They still do it. They even use aluminium sheets nowadays to do the sides. But your roof is always got to be of an organic material like this. Cynthia here today. She's there. Did anybody tell her I stole this out of her garden this morning? It's better to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission. And don't let the children, don't tell your parents I said that. They'll tell you I'm teaching you to be naughty. But they built structures like this. And there's a very good reason that I made these structures so flimsy. It's a very good reason that a roof had to be from organic material. The reason was that this structure shows us the temporary state of our lives on this earth. It reminds us that we are not here forever. That this organic roof will start to go frot within a couple of weeks. And this place will not last. Because we are on this earth only temporarily. So, why do we look at this? Why do we use Jewish traditions and Jewish scanners and things to remind us what we have to do? It's because we as Christians also have an obligation towards proper stewardship. We also have an obligation, like these Jewish people had, in giving something back to the work of the Lord. But the problem is that we want to use the Old Testament laws to do this. And these laws are very confusing. So as Christians, don't always understand how much we are supposed to give. From the time of Abram to Moses, and from the time of Moses to the exile, and from the time that they returned to the time of Jesus, these rules and laws seem to be changing all the time. And some people will take the law that says give 10% and they will work it through certain ways of doing it, and it will come to 2.8% that you only need to give. And so churches, and Christians in particular, are often very, very confused. We recognize that there's a need to give and there's a need for tithing, but we have no idea on how much we are supposed to give. Although some of us, especially the ones wearing collars like this, might be quick to quote scripture on it and say, in general, we need to be giving 10%. And in general, our churches, and like I said, our church leaders in particular, are not very helpful in this regard. And sometimes our churches are even downright dishonest when it comes to planned giving and tithing. Many churches want to lean on the Old Testament law when they preach on the topic of tithing. And it's a topic I hate to preach on. Let me tell you this morning, I was kind of like nudged into this, but I hate to preach on this because I've seen the damage it done. I've seen people being driven away from churches. I've seen people being hurt. People being made to feel like they are insignificant or that they are guilty. Because ministers will preach these sermons in an irresponsible manner. So let's see if we can make sense of this difficult topic in a responsible way. And if we can teach our children how to be responsible stewards of that what God has left in our care. So where are the children? Are you still here? Put up your hands. I can see if you're still here. There we are. And you take your hand down. You're not a child. For many, picking on him. When God made his covenant with Moses and the Israelites, that's a long time after Abram, when God made his covenant, part of the covenant was a promise of land. He promised them land. So, let me test the children this. Maybe I should test our confirmation class in this. How many tribes did the Jews have? How many tribes were the Jewish set up? How many tribes does the Jewish nation consist out of? So I asked the older people. 12. 12 tribes. Of these 12 tribes, 11 were promised land and 11 were given land in Canaan. But one tribe did not get land. One tribe got nothing. Is that fair? Nah, it's very unfair. But this tribe was set aside for a special duty. Out of this tribe, the priests of Israel were all to be taken out of. So if you want to be a priest in Israel, you had to be a member of this tribe. Who knows what this tribe was? The name of this tribe? The Levites, they were not allowed to own any land. This was the tribe of Levi, and Aaron was from this tribe. And God appointed Aaron as the high priest. And in Numbers 18, we will read of how this happened. And we also read how God gave the Levites the authority over the tithing of the nation of Israel. This is what God said. Then the Lord said to Aaron, I myself have put you in charge of the offerings presented to me. Aaron's in charge of all his offerings presented to the Lord. And then God continued to say, you will have no inheritance in their land. Remember, they didn't get any land, nor will you have any share amongst them. No land for you, Levites. I am your share and your inheritance among Israelites. And so the church leaders of the day, they understand this and they preach this. And based on Leviticus 27, many of our church leaders claim that a percentage of your parents' tithing should be 10%. So I hope the children listen now. Go home today and tell your parents 10% of what you earn, you bring to this old Levite standing here. It's in the Bible. Notwithstanding the fact that unraveling or even understanding those very difficult Jewish laws on tithing is nearly impossible. But there's a darker and deeper reason behind this. These old Levites are clever people. There's a darker and deeper reason behind this, and that's greed. Because although many big and seemingly successful churches will preach the need to tithe 10%, they will not tell you about a second part of this law. The second part of this law of tithing, as we find it in the book of Numbers. They will not tell you this because it will unmask their own greed. Greed that hurts the very people who place their trust in these churches and in these leaders. They hurt these people because these people believe what the churches teach. These people believe that a church will do God's work and God's will, and the church will bless those who are in need, and so they give what they're asked to give. And what happens then is people like pensioners, who cannot afford to give more than what they're already giving, are made to feel so bad about what they're giving that they will do themselves in, cut down on the necessities that they need, cut down on the things they need in their own household, so that they can give a little bit more, just to stop this feeling that they have inside of them that's been created by the churches. And the same with poor households. People out of guilt will give more to the church than what they can really afford to. And they do this because the church leaders make them to believe that they are doing God's will, and that they are helping to build the kingdom of God with the tithes that they give. While in reality, they have been misled by church leaders. Leaders that often have credit cards in the name of the church with a credit limit on it with which you can buy a house. And they have this for their own personal use. So children, I want to encourage you today. Go home, tell your parents to give a tenth of their money to this church. Please do that. You know why I want you to do that? It's because of the second part of this law, which preachers never preach on. In Numbers 18 verse 21, God says this, I give to the Levites all the tithes in Israel as their inheritance. They don't get land. They get all the tithes in Israel. It's their inheritance for the work they do while serving in a tent of meeting. Cool. All the money coming to this church is coming straight to my pocket. That's what it says there. It's biblical. Lalam is worried. See it. So that law says that all the tithes we receive in this church come straight to me. I like this law. But unfortunately, God spoke to Moses about this because he was looking at us and he saw this old Levite. It's going to be a very happy chappy. Because God knew what this old Levite would get to. And he will get all excited about it and become greedy. So God says to Moses, and he says, speak to the Levites and say to them, when you receive from the Israelites the tithe I've given you as your inheritance, you Levites must present a tenth of that tithe as the offering to the Lord. See? It's not fair. Now the Lord wants 10% of what you've brought me. Now he wants that back for his work. But that's still okay for me, because that means with all the offerings I've received here this morning, I only need to give this much. I'll just swap that. I don't like that so much. That's all I need to give back to the Lord. The rest stays mine. Some bananas here, because I don't like these burning things either. That's all I need to give to the Lord. So I'm still cool with this law. In the Bible, it's there. Take that Bible in your pew and look at it if you think I've made that up. Can this work? Can this system work? Honestly, you think this can work? All that will happen is that I will get rich and a little bit fatter than what I already am, and it means God's work will not be done. There will not be enough left over of what we have brought here to feed the poor, to bring relief to those who are suffering, to care for those we are supposed to be caring for. What we often forget, and what greedy clergy neglect to point out, is that Jesus came and he changed the system. We can no longer play on people's feelings. We can no longer make people feel guilty because of what they give, or make them feel that they are a disappointment to God because they cannot afford to give 10% of their money to the church, especially if the church that they give to is not particularly involved in the mission of God on this earth. But we still have a responsibility towards tithing, and we still have a responsibility in giving back to God some of what we've earned. Yes, we do. Just like the ministers and church leaders have a responsibility towards using your gifts in a responsible manner. Using it in a manner that will build up the kingdom of God. Using it in a manner that will promote God's mission in this community. So it's not without reason that Malachi prophesied about this. He says, and now you priest, this warning is for you. If you do not listen, and if you do not resolve to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse on you, and will curse your blessing. I will curse that 10% that you're trying to give back to me. I will curse that. I've already cursed them, said the Lord, because you've not resolved to honor me. Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants. And how's this? I like this translation better than the one we've read. I will smear on your faces the dung from your festival sacrifices. That animals you brought to this festival to be sacrificed, I'll take that dung and I'll smear it in your face, says the Lord. The sacrifice that a priest brings, that 10% that they must give back to the Lord, will not be acceptable, because the priest, in their greed, has not honored God. Misuse the system, and they've abused God's people. It's a stern warning. This is a very stern warning to ministers and to church leaders. We can no longer be careless with God's property. We can no longer be careless with that what God has trusted through His people to us. With that with which we are supposed to bring honor to God. What is brought here must be used for God's work. And sometimes buildings are not on God's priority list. Managing that what God's given us is a serious matter. And I don't think we're always serious about it as serious about it as we should be. We cannot always apply the rules of a secular world to God's possessions. Now this is your turn. Now the second thing which Malachi prophesied about is the responsibility we as God's people have in the supporting of God's ministry through our tithing. I was reminded this week of something I was aware of, became aware of a while ago, but kind of like stored in the back of my mind. God, through His prophet Malachi, said that we are robbing Him by withholding tithes and offerings. Now, I understand often people look at a church and they just see the great suit, the beautiful murk, the lovely house that a pastor owns. And they look at this and they think, I'm suffering. I'm struggling. Is this what my money is being used for? See the Old Testament system? And so it's difficult for us to give if we don't see the money being used to do God's work in our community. But God, through His prophet Malachi, said this: will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? Tithes and offerings. You are under a curse. Your whole nation. Because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storeroom, that there may be food in my house. What difference is that to this model? Where the whole tithing goes to the Levites. Bring the whole tithe into the storeroom, that there might be food in my house, the Lord said. Not in the Levites' house, but in my house. I was reminded how robbing is different from stealing. Stealing, you go into my house when I'm not there and you take what you want. Robbing is when you go there when I'm there. When you do it in my face. But we don't do that, do we? We don't rob God. So we think. But God here through Malachi tells us that's exactly what we're doing. We rob God when we withhold from Him. That's rightfully His. We rob Him when churches like ours cannot do the task we are called to do because our members, the ones who have the funds, withhold these funds that we need for our missional work. We rob God when we live in luxury while the community around us is in dire need. Now I've got you confused because I said I'm not going to play in your mind and I'll do that. As Christians, we don't hold on to the Old Testament laws of tithing anymore. These laws were put into place so that the Levites might also have some inheritance. But the responsibility of giving is still there for us. It's now even more important than what it was for old Jews. It's a responsibility that in the last couple of years in this congregation has been slightly ignored. And so we've steadily, our planned income has declined. Hence, the stewardship committee knocking on my shoulder and say, you better preach about this. So it's not my fault. But I want you to know, please know this. This message this morning is not a message to make you feel guilty or try to force blood out of a stone. This message is to remind you of how much you have to be thankful for. This message is also to remind you that God bless you. Not only for your own sake, but also so that others might be blessed through your thankful heart and what you are bringing to this house. What you are bringing to this house no longer goes to this old Levite. I'm very sad about it, you can see that. It's not for my comfort. That system is gone. We don't use that system anymore. That system was replaced when Jesus Christ came to this world. the priesthood was taken from the Levites and given to Jesus. For when a priesthood is changed, the law must also change. The tithing we do, that's what we give to the Lord, that no longer goes to the Levites. Jesus is the one who receives it. It says, in the one case, the tenth is collected by people who die, speaking of the old Levites and their laws. But in the other case, that tenth is collected by him who is declared to be living, by Jesus. In a new covenant, our tithing comes to Jesus, he who cannot die. So what does this mean for us and for the way in which we give our tithings? It means that we have that what we've earned. We get that as a blessing from God. Our schools nowadays teach us about wants and needs. And I love this. I love this about our curriculum. We teach our children about those things we need and those things we want. And so, as the Lord bless us with income, we have to take care of our needs first, and then our wants. Sometimes we get it mixed up. A guy like me is never got money because my wants always comes before my needs. But even in that, we have a stewardship. We should take care of our income, look after our needs, and then take care of our wants. And once our needs has been met, from that what we've left over, before we spend all on those things we want to have, those nice TVs, those nice cars, the extra house by the beach, remember the Lord's work. And out of that, we have to give something back to the Lord. Remember when we have dinner, and there's a lot of food left over. We could have saved some of the money we spent on that food. And maybe just give that to the Lord's work. Or when you get to your 10th pair of shoes which you might not wear, maybe once, and in 10 years' time give it away or throw it away. Maybe you don't need that. Maybe the Lord can use that. And then, let the Lord speak to you. Let Him prompt you. Let Him know when, where, and how much. Let not the church be the ones telling you what to give, how to give, when to give. After all, when our life ends, we cannot take it with us. And our lives are very much like the Sukkoth. Temporary, flimsy, something that's not going to last. This is a very personal matter, so it's a difficult thing to preach about. But I want you to think about the way in which you give. And discuss it with the Lord in prayer, meditation, through reading of the Bible, and I'm sure the Lord through the Spirit will lead you in a proper manner. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks. Lord, we cannot give you enough thanks for everything that you do for us, for all the ways in which you take care of us, for all the ways in which you bless us. Lord, we often don't know how to show it. But Lord, we open ourselves to your Spirit this morning. Let your Spirit guide us this morning so that we may become proper followers of Christ, tuning to the work of Christ, and ready to bless others through what you blessed us with. Lord, we do not give because we expect to get back. But Lord, you do promise that those who are faithful in their tithing and giving will not suffer, that you will continue to bless them and bless them more. Father, we are so careful of using this, because so often churches promote this and say, give and you will receive more. Lord, you will give us what we need, and in that we trust this morning. So therefore we pray in your name. Amen. Before the offering is taken,